I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The show is broadcasting live from the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI studios.
Now they rushed him down into the bunker on Friday because of the protesting. Is that what happened?
Right, and he was so pumped he found all these unknown M&Ms down there. He was like, "This is great!
Wow, look at the supply of ready-to-eat hamburgers down there."
Cultural change is hard.
Do we get Fox News? Turn on Fox News, Dad. Stop the protest with Queen Antifa.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Everybody, be safe tonight and
safe,
tomorrow.
Guys. Be careful.
Right before.
Be careful.
Right.
All across the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Or streaming at WEEI.com.
And the radio.com app.
Intercom.
This is
The Greg Hill Show.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
With your host.
What?
Journalism Standard, Greg Hill.
Yeah, you want to explain these shower flip-flops that you're all a part of right now? Have you just given up? I mean,
what do you mean? You can't wear
Greg Hill Foundation shower flip-flops.
Are you wearing your slides?
I'm going to flip-flop. They're not shower flip-flops.
I mean, in all sincerity, Greg, you should be looting the Greg Hill Foundation for free shoes.
Featuring New England's only full-time female sports talker, Danielle Murr.
The sex workers in Switzerland have suggested that there are two positions that they could use that would be the most socially distant.
Woof, woof, yeah.
Yippee-yay, bow, wow.
AKA the texting while doing.
I just texted A1.
Hang on, I'm busy. I'll get right back to you. Don't FaceTime me.
Joined by...
They jello for sauce!
Wiggy.
So you don't think there's been any progress made whatsoever when it comes to race relations?
I mean, there's progress made, but the progress needs to be made like the way iPhones are made.
In a factory by 11-year-olds?
And behind the glass, the nation's two most annoying button pushers and professional staplers, Ken and Curtis.
He and Hardy agree you have to toast the buns on the grill.
That's right. What we'll do is we'll pay attention specifically to Fitzy's Twitter feed.
Oh, what a toss, Hardy.
Fitzy does it. Shame, shame.
Now.
But we've got to be role models.
Right.
Oh, God.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
And losers they are.
If I get corona, I get corona.
You're going to get a COVID.
How many have got the Godova?
The virus.
Cover it.
Cover it.
Some of the morning show hosts who don't have a clue what they're talking about. They're not smart people.
On sports radio. Cheers. Crushing beers and watching the Pats.
From your lips to God's ears.
WEEI.
It's called Neshoba. It's a regional high school. Everyone,
hello,
Gregory
Wiggs.
What is Wiggs?
We're good. What's your Danielle?
Everybody,
it's Tuesday,
okay?
Obviously.
Everybody, all right?
Everything okay?
Everything okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
I stayed at home.
I'm fine.
Streets.
I drove home yesterday with surrounded by National Guard trucks heading into the city of Boston. I was like, oh,
yeah, that ain't helping. That was the dumbest thing they could have did. And sending in the National Guard. Things are just getting worse, man. You see 11 people already been killed?
Yes.
And throughout the country. And just,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
It ain't going to get any better, I tell you that.
No. I mean, it's everywhere you look, it's chaos. Like,
yep.
It's pure chaos.
Yeah.
I had to hide out
in my dump of an apartment yesterday afternoon and evening because the police were down there en masse, right. And they were boarding up the windows.
Yeah.
And I thought there was some kind of, there was going to be some kind of an incident.
Yeah, it's
I
open
almost
season.
I almost called you to see if you'd come in and ride shotgun with me.
It's open season, man.
They were actually boarding up. They were boarding up the windows for the restaurants for Greg.
What's that?
They were boarding up the restaurants for Greg.
They didn't want.
They didn't want him coming in.
Stealing appetizers.
Exactly.
Everybody's running up in Nike stores, running out with Jays, and here comes Greg running out with a few apps, a couple bottles of wine.
He's got scallops wrapped in bacon, running down Causeway.
A couple frozen boxes of Davio's Philly cheesesteak rolls.
Oh, those are pretty good.
Yeah, I guess apparently on social media there's all kinds of looting threats that are being issued.
Mm-hmm.
And so literally when I walked outside yesterday at like 5 o'clock to go to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
there was, I don't know, 100 Boston police officers gathering just in case there was something that was going. And I believe that in Providence, the mall was looted last night, Danielle.
I have to double check on the details, but yeah.
And there awful. Was... There was some sort of a concern at the Natick Collection also last night that there was.
Well, that's the one thing you should know, right? In any type of, we're going to have a protest. We're going to have rallies. We know that there's a chance that they could lead to the knuckleheads, because I've seen them in New York and I saw they're all over the country. Mm. But one thing that really had me disgusted is how they were in New York, and just they are now looking. This is their opportunity for them to come up on the come up.
The come up on the come up.
Yes. Okay. The criminals are looking like this is
this is like when Wiggy described a shape up as a shape up.
Yes. This is like when, you know, I told you.
This is like the second phrase in a week that I've learned from Wiggs. The come up.
You know, I told you I got my boys in law enforcement, and then I got, unfortunately, I got those boys that I know that are criminals.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
This is when criminal says, "Ooh, I'm ready. I'm going down for the protest only to cause havoc and loot and see what I can come up
right.
off of."
You got the protest, and then you got the come up.
Yes,
so they go to the protest, and then they participate in the come up.
They're running up in jewelry stores and sneaker stores. I mean, it's like, come on now.
Now, with such a heavy law enforcement presence, Greg, does that mean your new vehicle now has the front windshield peppered with police stickers, or have we not?
No, I didn't. No, didn't worry about any of that. I did not worry about any of that. All right. Well, Wiggs is here. Danielle, Curtis, Ken. And if you'd like to call, you'd like to be on, the number is 617-779-7937, or you can text anytime on the text line, which is 37937. And sometime this hour, around 6:45 or so, we will get to the dumbest of the day.
This is The Lead.
No Def Leppard show at Fenway this summer, Ken.
No,
or maybe no show next summer. I don't know when concerts
virtual, maybe,
will return.
Maybe virtual Def Leppard.
No, we need to stop with the virtual stuff. Stop
you done?
I'm done with
you're
that.
You're out on the virtual stuff?
Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah.
No virtual shows, none of that. Either open the damn thing back up or don't have any shows.
Well, years from now, Greg, it will be known as the photo op. President Trump using force and tear gas to move peaceful protesters for a photo op in front of St. John's Church with a Bible. I think it was a Bible. It might have been Bradford's book, Chasing Steinbrenner. I don't know. But the fear of fascism is real. And here's the fear for me. I mean, first of all, if the Democrats cannot win now, disband the party after what we've seen the last couple of days from this guy hiding in the bunker and now going for the photo op in front of the church. But I worry more about the second wave of COVID because of the fear of the election getting postponed in the fall. That's the only chance Trump stays in office. Dems' priority, A1, needs to be mail-in ballots across the country, especially in the swing states. I'd like to start voting now. I mean, you already declared yesterday you're out on Trump.
No,
we're ready.
I said, ready.
Let's start voting for Biden today.
Let's be clear. I said I may not be able to vote for this guy again. I owned up to that and said that.
Yes,
you appreciate that?
I do.
By the way, did the guy who's been cowering in his home for the last 3 months because a governor suggested it, just say the fear of fascism is real when it comes to the president walking down to a church yesterday?
What did he say? He said General Milley is in charge. He told the governors, I'm putting Milley in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So he's putting the commander in chief of the armed forces in charge.
And in those areas where the National Guard went last night, were those areas calmer and safer? Or
I think overall it seems like it looked like they were.
Boston was pretty calm last night.
Are we just supposed to, Ken?
Should the country just be looted and burned for the next week?
No,
the
didn't
millions
say that.
And millions of
didn't
dollars.
Say that, but we're talking about peaceful protesters being moved out. That is that you're quelling unrest and peaceful unrest with the use of force. That is the definition of fascism.
Well, and what would you have them do? Just ask them to kindly move down the street so the president
could
walk
them
over to the church?
Nothing. Or? I would say you have the right to protest, and I'm not moving you forcefully with the army to get a photo op in front of a church. It is unbelievable.
That video of Trump trying to figure out how to hold that Bible was probably one of the best things I saw yesterday. It gave me life. It was like if you would put the low-calorie menu into Greg's hands by accident. It's just like he's like, does it go this way? Okay.
He's so out of touch with reality.
It's unbelievable. Wayne.
I mean, I know you know. As far as you might have been in the business world, but as far as reality world, man, he's so out of touch.
Oh, he's probably used to reading it on his tablet or something like that.
Somebody
knows how to hold a book properly anymore.
Riggy, you missed a very easy apprentice line there with reality world, reality show, Trump. Anyway.
You're fired.
So yesterday, as I do every day, I was listening to Dale and Keith with Wiggy, and Wiggy said this, and I think he is 1,000% wrong.
If Tom Brady says, hey, we're all equals, do you think that changes that person?
I think that person is more apt to listen to what Tom Brady has to say and why is he saying this versus LeBron James saying it. All I'm saying is forget the races, take out, because there's nothing you could do to change their mind.
Yeah.
But the masses, right? The people that, like you said, might. I don't really understand his issue or what it's like to be black. And maybe that person sits there and goes, okay.
Tom Brady is not going to change anybody's mind about George Floyd or any other person in this country. If you are not aware of what's gone on with that awful, despicable killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, then you're lost. You're gone. It's now been 2 weeks or whatever it's been. The whole country should know what's going on. And I'm tired of people demanding that Tom Brady do their dirty work for them. If you're a father, tell your son what happened.
No, but it's not about the George.
Personally,
I'm waiting for Tom Brady to tell me what it's like to be black.
No, but it's not about Tom Brady telling you about the George Floyd situation. See, you're missing the bigger point, right? White people don't listen to black people. So LeBron James, Michael Jordan.
We're listening to you right now.
Well, I mean, you're listening
halfway.
Because... Yeah, right, exactly.
White man in America in the mid-90s wanted to be like Mike.
Listen, dude, come on. Now, if we're going to talk, we're going to talk 100% real, right? So white people don't listen to black athletes, black celebrities, all right? What they say falls on deaf ears. Michael Jordan puts out a statement, they're not listening. But if Tom Brady, and I'm not saying Tom Brady has to come out and say something. I'm saying somebody of his status, right? They now, not about the George Floyd, because it doesn't take it, everybody understands what happened to George Floyd, but it's about the little things. And that's the biggest problem that we have in the society, right? In order for white people to really get it, it has to be so big for them to understand. But it's the little things that they might deal with on a daily basis. Tom Brady has black nieces, right? Mm-hmm. So if he comes out and says, little things that they deal with every single day, us as white people maybe cause them to feel uncomfortable. Why are we doing this? I think now more white people are more likely to listen to guys like Tom Brady that are at that certain status, Aaron Rodgers, and I said Sidney Crosby, these elite athletes who are at that status versus them listening to LeBron James, Michael Jordan, and whatever other black athlete comes out and says something.
But the elite liberals are almost all white, and they all said that forever, whether it's Leo DiCaprio, George Clooney, whoever it is. They're very progressive.
Tom Hank.
And Tom Hank. And the thing is that it's frustrating.
But who changes how we live? White people or black people?
I believe the parents in homes change the way people live.
No, I didn't ask that question. I said, who changes? White people or black people? How America is? When you look at what we're dealing with here in America on a race level, who changes it, white people or black people?
I believe that white people in law enforcement have a real sort of purpose now to move forward to make sure that we don't deal with something
like
this
again. But what about the people that aren't in law enforcement? We saw the Karen in whatever her name is in Central Park. We saw
there was another Karen yesterday.
Yeah, we saw the guy in was that Minneapolis who was like in the office building working out. It's not just, I think that's the problem. Let's stop focusing on just law enforcement. We have a bigger issue with all, not all, but a large majority of just regular white people that are not in law enforcement. White people are going to change the way racism is in this world.
Right, and I think, Wiggy, I had a conversation about this yesterday. I believe that as our generation, my generation, I'm 36.
Mm-hmm.
You look
75, but go ahead. Yes.
Right. I was there when they started the busing, and it was awful. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I was... I am telling you that as my generation gets older, it will slowly change.
Believe me, my
generation doesn't care about homosexuality. They don't care as much about race.
How old do you think that lady was in Central Park? I bet she was around your age.
No, she wasn't.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, she was probably in her 30s.
Yes, okay, there's always going to be racist people at some level. You can't get rid of all bad people in the world.
But it's not about, but what you're missing is, why is there such a disconnect on how white people look at black people, right? Why is that? Regardless, and we see it at younger ages. I mean, you talk about your son, Brees Hill, who's 20 years old.
20, yeah.
Right? You don't think that he has some friends that, or maybe he knows some people that look at black people like the same way that lady in Central Park looked at them, or the same way that that guy looked at those kids trying to work out in the gym? That's the problem here. Let's just not focus on law enforcement. That's what we're, the bigger picture is, we have to change the minds of the masses of white people on why is it that they look at black people in whatever negative light that may be.
I think it's a really important topic to discuss.
Right.
And I think we should discuss it this morning.
Right.
I think we should.
Right.
What's your lead?
And my lead is just kind of to maybe piggyback off of Curtis's a little bit, but we need to start keeping it real in this world, right? If we're going to really sit here and have a discussion about race and racism and what's going on, we need to be 100, right? We can't be afraid to say things that might hurt people's feelings, or they might be the truth, right? That's the biggest problem I think we have in America right now, is that we're too afraid to talk about race. When I saw some of those things last night, I'm disgusted with the way some black people act, right? But you got to be willing to talk about that with black people, right? And if somebody is feeling a certain way, we had a caller yesterday call up and was beating around the bush on why he thought that maybe, you know, this whole George Floyd situation happened. But he wanted to just get to the point where it's like, well, the reason why it happened is because how he dressed, how he talks, you know, he has this, and I'm making air quotes, this gangster mentality. Like, we need, if that's the way you feel as a white person, then explain that to us so we can have a dialogue about why is it that just because somebody talks and dresses in a way that you seem to be gangster or negative, that doesn't mean that's who they are.
And you're saying, and everybody needs to listen to what everybody else is saying.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're going to...
100.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're going to talk as a black or a white person, keep it real. Give me your real feelings. Don't try to sugarcoat stuff to make me feel good. Tell me the truth.
Okay. All right. Danielle, what do you got?
As we move toward the new normal, people have to drink. People have to change how they approach certain activities. The fetish people, specifically the sneeze fetish people, are all up in arms because they can't get their jollies because they're afraid of people with COVID sneezing on them. Now, if you're not familiar with the sneeze fetish, which I wasn't until I realized this was going on, evidently people have a sexual fetish of about others sneezing on them.
Oh,
so
really? Oh, that's the turn-on part, is the sneezing on them.
The sneezing on them. So they'll get together, like an individual, male or female, will get together with another individual, and the other person will sniff something that will trigger an allergic reaction or something, and they'll sneeze on the subject.
No, not right now. Does not sound safe.
No.
Can they do it from 6 feet away?
I mean, that's a big sneeze, but probably.
Maybe they could do the virtual fetish of sneezing.
I don't think that has the same effect.
Doesn't have the same.
I think they want droplets.
Oh, so they want, it's just not the sneezing part that turns them on. They actually
it's the
want
whole the, thing. Yeah,
so that's postponed for a while.
Yeah,
I hope so.
At least the careful people. You know, the regular people don't care about getting STDs and asking if people right, have been tested right. for that, you know, on the Tinder, but the sneeze fetish people are being safe.
All right. The mayor of Salem, Kim Driscoll, mm-hmm. has her pantsuit in a bunch this morning over a tweet that was sent on the Salem PD Twitter feed yesterday. And the tweet read, at Marty Walsh, so you issued a permit for tens of thousands of people to protest, but I can't go to a restaurant?
I saw that one coming.
You took
a page out of the Cambridge playbook.
You are ridiculous. You and Too Tall Duvall are killing the state.
Yeah.
Kim Driscoll wants to know how this happened.
I don't know.
Nobody in the Salem PD has owned up for it yet. But
of course
I don't think anybody in the world knows how, in the country knows how it is. It's like 6 feet apart, you know, we're at a stay at home. And then it's like, all right, everybody protest thousands and thousands of people.
I know. How do you sign that permit? If you're Mayor Walsh,
I don't know.
We're going to have tens of thousands of right. people gather together.
Right. But they won't let you go to the beach.
right.
But you can't put more than your ankle in the water right. at the beach.
Yeah.
Are you yeah. freaking kidding me?
Yeah, what? It's nuts.
Where do we live? What period of time do we live in?
I have no idea.
It's rapidly becoming the dark ages.
All right. Looks like phone-wise that there's a lot of people who want to participate in your discussion about what's going on in this country, Wiggs. So we'll do that coming up. Also, you will be delighted about this based on what you have said previously on this show about Cory Booker.
Mm-hmm.
After trending, we may be able to get to the Hollywood stars who will be paying reparations soon.
Ooh.
So
$1,200 stimulus check.
Get yourself lined up for that right now. Here's Ken.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by the City of Austin Credit Union. Membership is open to everyone that lives, works, or goes to school in Norfolk, Suffolk, and Middlesex counties. Visit cityofbostoncu.com for membership information. City of Austin Credit Union, uniquely Boston. Greg, I give you baseball to cheer up things. They are threatening a very short season now. The two sides had what is reported as a heated meeting Sunday, per The Athletic. The owners mentioned as few as 40 games.
Oh.
ESPN reports last night they're discussing now 50 to 60 starting in July. This would give players their full salaries, but in this case prorated to 31% of their full season's paychecks.
Hmm.
The most recent proposal they'd agreed on in March was 70%, but there's language there that gives Manfred, he believes, permission to force this.
Well, obviously, I'm going to be okay with this. I'm actually going to be happy with a 40-game season right. and would yeah. be going forward. But, Ken, does that do anything for you at all?
Is that worth it, Ken?
Yes. Is
it
better than nothing? Yes,
just
absolutely.
Just because you get to see baseball again.
Some baseball plus playoffs,
okay.
yes.
All right.
Something. I mean, God. They'd still have the whole month of July to themselves. Think about that. Now, the league has pushed for a shorter season in part due to the fears that second wave of coronavirus in the fall could wipe out the playoff money. That's big to them. The Athletic, no surprise, is reporting the union's offer to defer all that money was met with zero impact among the owners. So we're still.
Why would here's where we're kind of don't. I think we're going to run into an issue, right? Everybody's so concerned with the second wave. If you start sports and then there's a second wave, are you then just going to, you know, basically pull the rug out from underneath people and then cancel them?
Yes.
Or do you just say, we're going to play through the second wave?
No, as soon as there's any indication that someone may have caught the virus,
mm-hmm.
Ken and others are going to run screaming into their
homes. And say, shut the leagues down.
And they're going to demand that everything be shut down again. And that's,
well, you realize, Wiggy, at the peak of the first wave in New York, we had like 800 people a day dying. So it was a serious issue. Unless you believe people weren't actually dying of COVID, which Curtis believes, but that's a whole different story.
Well, there's
probables.
There's some probable
than not.
800 more probable than not. Yes, is what we had.
But I think we have.
I missed those talks.
But don't
actually,
you, Ken, don't you think that we have a better grip on if the second wave does come of
yeah.
how to handle it?
Yes, absolutely.
And yep. But we don't have to shut things down. We can continue to
I
play
so.
Sports
yeah.
and that kind of stuff.
That's I think hope. When the second wave comes, they're going to force everyone inside and have 2 million people protest downtown.
Boxer Floyd Mayweather.
Well, can you be in the second wave above your ankles, like up to your waist?
Yeah, you can get up to the balls deep.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm waiting for phase five.
Floyd Mayweather's going to pay for the funeral services of George Floyd, per a Mayweather representative. A friend of Kaepernick, Brandon Marshall, has been in touch with Cap. said he has spoken to him in recent days. Brandon Marshall, the former Broncos linebacker, he hopes people are ready for their message. Right now, though, he's focused on legal assistance for the protesters. So no return of Cap yet, but no. The week is young.
Legal assistance for the protesters or for the looters?
In this case, it's kind of a blurred line. Some of them have been, you know, put in
the
prison.
Protesters. How did you describe it yesterday?
Well, they were
the protesters.
Peaceful
who
protests
turned,
that turned violent.
They were peaceful protests that turned violent.
Yes,
yes.
Because of, as Wiggy describes it, some knuckleheads.
Okay. Yes,
some
looking for the come up.
The come up. Come up on the come up.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Well, Wiggy is here this morning, and we're going to get to the dumbest of the day in about 15 or 20 minutes. During the news at 7:30, there's an irrational fear, and it is sex-crazed rats.
Oh, good.
Yes.
That's fun.
Which we will get to. But Wiggy, just like yesterday, had a lot to say during the lead with regard to what is currently happening in this city and this country. I think most people are sick about it. And Wiggy, I think that when we talked during the crossover yesterday and when you were addressing Curtis during the lead, you were saying that what we need is honest communication and for everybody to listen.
Yeah, I think that to me is the biggest thing, right? If we have, we live in two Americas, and I've always said this: we live in Black America and White America, right? But how do we go from living in two Americas to living together in one America and being able to understand everybody? I think law enforcement and how they interact with not just people but Black people, I think that's a lot has to do with the communication, right? How you talk to somebody because you're in a position of power.
Both sides or just the law enforcement side?
I think it's both sides, but I think the law enforcement side, they because they're in a position of power, they have to understand how to, you know, go about posing that power and not being so what's the word I'm looking for? Like aggressive when they're speaking, right? And I understand they're dealing with very difficult situations. But what Curtis and I are talking about is, and I think is more the bigger picture is how many, is more the masses of the way White America and Black America view each other. You know, because I think that's the biggest problem. When we speak about the lady, the you know, Amy in the Central Park, or we speak, that's more the masses that Black people deal with on a daily basis, right? They'll deal with law enforcement at times, but not as much as the regular interactions, which is White people on a daily basis. And how do we get a better bridge?
And is that kind of passive aggressive racism? Like,
yes.
It's not really up front in your face, own it racism.
Right.
And that's what you're saying.
And that's, there is an African American man. I am in Central Park.
But that's the biggest thing, right? Because see, instantly when, and I don't knock white people for this, but instantly when they think of, oh, somebody's racist, they think this person's using the N word. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. That's what they're looking for, the most extreme. But
well, that's it. That's also, you make a good point too, Wiggy, because any other type of racism beyond like white to Black is always described as reverse racism when there's no such thing.
Right.
Racism is racism. It's not one particular category.
Right.
Well, and certainly, Wiggy, you would acknowledge that there are black people who are racist as well, right?
I always battle with that one, right? Because I always find it difficult for a black person to look at, because the true definition of racism, right, is when you feel like you're more superior than another person based on the color of your skin, mm-hmm. right? And I always find it difficult.
It's prejudging someone.
Well, but it's more of you feel superior because of your skin tone.
No, I think that racism means that you look a certain way, so I think this of you.
But that's more of profiling, right?
No, it's prejudice, which is the basis for racism.
Well, if the way I feel is as a black person or black people, you don't see as many of them looking at white people and go, because of the color of my skin, I feel like I'm superior to you. Because that's really what it started from, right? It didn't start from prejudging people. It started from we as white people feel like we're the more dominant race because of our skin tone.
Right.
And because
do you feel like there are a lot of people who still feel that way?
I feel like there are people out there that maybe look at it and go, maybe not because of their skin tone, but it could be environment, it could be where they're from. But I just feel like there's a lack of communication that we have amongst each other to really figure out what is going on. And I don't feel like black people do it as much as white people. I know there are some black people out there that do prejudge Curtis, white people, but I don't really feel like it's as many that will do it as white people.
Now, I want to address this right off the bat because texters are frustrated with you. Mm-hmm. There, and Joe on the phone says you're dividing people. Mm-hmm. And so I want to discuss this right here, right off the bat
sure.
this morning. Joe.
Hey, Greg.
What's up?
Hey, you know, Wiggy, you know, I know that this is a radio show and a lot of the stuff you do is tongue-in-cheek, but...
No, I don't do it. It's not tongue-in-cheek for me, bro. It's 100.
Well, maybe not this subject, but Elvis, for the better part of almost a year, mm-hmm. you have been dividing people into WPS and BPS
right.
ever since you came on this show. So maybe we can, instead of looking at a whole, we can look at an individual. Mm-hmm. What can I, as an individual, do to stop bringing people together? And what you can do and what I can do mm-hmm. is stop lumping people into categories. We're trying to get away from that. So you have a platform,
right?
And you're talking on this, and how you can understand.
Because Joe,
you're an influential person,
right? But WPS and BPS is something that we do for like the tongue in cheek, and we have fun with it.
It's okay to have fun,
right?
This drives me nuts too. Is it okay to have fun when you're discussing, you know, a situation that might be, you know.
Why I prefaced it with being tongue-in-cheek. I understand that. But in reality, you are still dividing and still putting people into categories. So if we want to make a change, we have to stop putting people into categories. If we're all one people and we're all going to get along as one, we can't have separate categories.
But that's the thing, Joe. That's the problem, that we're not all one people, right? We all have... You know, you grow up in a certain environment or in a certain household and you're raised by certain people. We're not like the same. You know, that's why we have fun with the WPS, BPS, because it's kind of in joking, but it is kind of the truth that it shows that we are different the way that we are brought up.
By the way, sneeze fetish people,
yes.
WPS.
All day long. All day long.
And I think we should have a Greg Hill show outing because Wiggy last time he was in said that mini golf was both WPS and BPS. Yes. We have a big mini golf tournament.
Yes.
Maybe nice. We should do that.
Yeah.
I like that.
But I told you.
Mini golf for one America.
We got to find the BPS mini golf with cones right. and a coffee can.
When is mini golf opening up? Because
That's 2026.
Right. Okay. Yes. We don't want to have 20 people on a mini golf yes. course, but we got 20,000 people right. walking hand in hand through the streets,
correct.
Spreading right. spreading the virus.
Space 2. It's called cautious.
Those are never not going to be funny.
What, the names?
Yes. And just the tone he uses.
The whole. Oh, I know.
New normal.
Uh-oh. Did you get a text from King Baker? That sounded like you've been
briefed. Shut that down real quick.
Well, we can go over what he, I don't even know what he. What was he saying yesterday that he's going to decide? He's going to decide. Listen, Charlie Baker is. I'm sure he's done coming on this show,
yep.
Which I'm okay with, and he's probably done. I mean, I would imagine that if I see him at some sort of an
he's
event,
done.
He's going to go in the other direction.
He's going to duck and run.
I'm fine with it. I want to clarify that if you own a business, a freaking business that might be able to open up on June 8th,
okay,
you have 1 week to prepare everything to possibly open up, and then you find out on Saturday, June 6th, this upcoming Saturday, whether you can open Monday or not?
Nope.
How does that work for people? How in the world does anybody think, with all due respect to the governor and everybody else, how do they think somebody is going to figure out bringing people back, getting the PPE stuff that you like? How
ordering inventory?
All of it.
Do y'all feel like anything has changed with the opening? At least here for our, because I feel like everything's still the same.
We're the only state that hasn't reopened.
Right.
No, we're open for certain things like looting.
Right, correct.
Well, besides the looting part
25% of office yesterday in Boston open.
Curtis, can you please refer to it as the come up?
Yes, the
that's
come
what, up. That's what the come
up. I keep thinking I have to dump that.
No, it's the come up. That's all it is, man. Go to Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, we usually have to dump most of that.
Let's see, who do we want to tell? This is Brian from Rhode Island. What's up, Brian?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about all the things. I think Wiggy is really close to a really good point about the perception of white people, look how they look at the black community. I am 58 years old, so I remember the 60s when I was little, but I remember the 60s and 70s and all the race stuff that was going on then. And I'm not white. I'm not black, but I'm not white. And I have experienced racism for myself and been a victim of it. I don't look at it as a victim. I shouldn't say victim. I don't look at it that way because I wasn't raised to look at it that way. But I have been picked on because of the cult, because I have dark skin. But to Wiggy's point, I think a big reason why is the media and the subliminal stuff. Every time you see Chicago, all the black violence, all the black kids that are in gangs that are killing each other every weekend, every day, and not saying it doesn't happen with white people is true, but it's predominantly those images, that thing that's covered all the time. Not sure about the mass shootings, that's something separate, but that people
I think
live in pretty nice areas. So when they see that, they're like, man, I don't want any of that stuff coming in my neighborhood. And so it gets associated more with the black community, that stuff. And I think that scares a lot of people, and unfortunately, that needs to change and change some of the perception of how white people look at the blacks and say, man, okay.
Wiggy, I mean, do you think the media plays a role?
They definitely play a role in it because we've had this, you think about it, right? It's, you're playing that hip hop music and it's like, it's just, look how, the profanity and, the talk about drug use and violence and this, that, and the other, rather than saying, okay, well, this is somebody, talking about what they see going on in their environment, right? An artist who, takes what his environment has given him and then, puts it into music, but it's portrayed as, oh, if you're listening to that, you must be a gangster. You must be this. You must be that. Why are you wearing, your pants sagging? Why you got a gold? If you got gold teeth in your mouth, right? And in the South, it's something that a lot of black people in the South, just for whatever reason, they get gold teeth and they get them at young ages, right? So instantly they start, and the media doesn't help. But that's the mindset. And that's why I said we need to have a conversation. So what is it? So if I have a chain on and a hat on backwards and I'm listening to,
Weezer.
Weezer, right?
Eminem.
No.
Sweater. It's the sweater song.
If I'm listening to Rick Ross or something like that.
Maybach music?
Yes. That, you know, Danielle, that Maybach music.
You're listening to Dale and Keith.
Welcome to Miami. Why is it that I'm instantly viewed as...
Viewed in a bad way.
In a negative way.
Saying by white people.
Yes. Where a black person will go, oh, okay. Just because I listen to Rick Ross, but I don't do that with white people. I don't go, well, your favorite movie is, or you're wearing a track velour track suit.
Right.
With and listening to The Counting Crows.
No, when you're listening.
Watching Beautiful Girls for the 18th time that week.
And you're driving down the road listening to Sinatra. I'm not instantly going, you must be a mobster because you got a velvet.
Well, so you look like Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
What about the guy that looted all those butter cakes by his garden last night?
So weird. But small right. hands.
Listen, but that's there's a lot. Know. There is a lot to talk about.
Oh yeah.
And we'll keep doing that. We're also going to get to the dumbest of the day coming up next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
By the way, North End Damien calling the show, I think, at 8:20 this morning.
Nice.
They're not happy over there. Mm-hmm. And
that's not good.
They're, I think there has been a Friday date set in the North End for opening on their own.
Okay.
They're going rogue.
So we still don't know what's going on with restaurants in Boston, right? Are they even, they're not outdoor yet, right?
Eighth.
No.
The 8th.
Monday.
Well, the 8th.
Allegedly.
The 8th was the date.
Right.
But yesterday the governor said he will inform everybody on Saturday as to whether the 8th can be the date.
Oh, okay. Which means no.
Right. So all North End restaurants should just hold a massive protest where they serve their food and charge people for it.
Oh, that's actually a really good little pop-up.
Yeah.
Protest
and,
pop-up.
Why don't wellness
they, they should file for a permit to have a food protest and hold it starting Friday in the North End.
Food fights are legal.
The mayor would approve that, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, so basically he's not giving them no time to figure stuff out. It just doesn't make sense. And this is the governor.
Yeah.
Well, so what's the mayor saying about restaurants in Boston?
Well, I assume the mayor is going to follow suit when it comes to the phase two restaurant thing. So if
you would hope.
The new normal.
No, the mayor is saying no restaurants until there's a vaccine.
I was in New Hampshire, and in New Hampshire, I think the restaurants are not only open on outdoors, but I feel like I drove by a restaurant, people were inside.
Wow.
There may be some where maybe there.
I love how Greg's like there may be. Like, he hasn't been up to New Hampshire 15 times in the last friggin' week.
By the way, wellness
for flavored dip and food.
We need a wellness check this morning on Nick. WEI just tweeted out his mashup.
Yeah,
Jarrett Stidham in the running for MVP next season.
Okay,
come on.
No, he didn't.
He didn't do
that's
that.
The headline.
No, he didn't.
It happened.
Jesus. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
This is two horrible takes. He said the Patriots are better personnel wise,
and he never wants to freaking toast potato buns.
Was it Pro Football Talk yesterday who had them
30?
One of the three worst teams in the NFL
this season.
Yeah,
they were ranked like 30.
31, I think. They were ranked 31.
Like they're way down there at the bottom.
And Volan on Sunday ranked the Patriots quarterback room as 30th out of 32 teams. So, look out.
Arrabiata.
Do you think they're going to be that bad, Wiggs?
I think they're going to be, I told you, 6-10. And so that would put them somewhere between 25th in the, 25th down. I on the quarterback room situation, I could see them having, the second or third worst quarterback room in the NFL.
Best running back room, though, in the NFL.
The best running back room, but the best position group in the NFL, which is pretty high praise. Their New England Patriots running back group is better than the San Francisco 49ers defensive line group.
And they have the best defensive coordinator in the NFL, Steve Belichick.
Well, that's what my Tannenbaum will tell you.
All right. This is, Joe from Boston. Joe, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, talking about this, I'm trying to understand what African Americans are going through. I was watching, church online. That's all we can do on Sundays because we can't go to church. And there was a conversation between two pastors, and one of the pastors, his name is Bishop Jakes. And one thing he mentioned, because sometimes the only way we can relate to someone is we're in the same time in life. We're in the same, I'm a 50-year-old white guy with four amazing daughters and an amazing wife. So when he was bringing up a story that happened in his life was, his son gives him a call at 2:00 in the morning, says, "Hey, Dad, I've been involved in an accident, but I'm okay. But the other guy that hit me, I don't think he's doing okay." And the father, he was great for that his son was okay, but he told his son to stay on the phone because he was worried about when the cops get there, what's going to happen. So he told his son, "You better stay on the phone with me." And once he heard the cops talking to his son and they were talking like he was a human being, he felt relieved. And I was thinking, well, if I ever got a call, if my daughter called me when she had an accident, and I'm hearing her telling me that I'm going to be feeling fine when she tells the cops are coming. Yeah. My mindset is, oh, she's going to be okay.
Right. So you say you'd be reassured. You would be, as a parent of a white daughter, you would be reassured that the cops are coming. Wiggy was talking about this the other day, saying that you are nervous when it comes to your kids going out. All the time.
Right, right.
All the time.
And I think that caller brings up a good point, right, is to say, when you look at it and you go, okay, we're at the same age, we might be equal financial status, but I'm a black person and you're a white person. Do you think it's more difficult for you to maneuver through life than it is for me? And I think that's the way it is, how I raise my kids, how I maneuver through life. We talk about this all the time. You have a 20-year-old son. I have a 22-year-old daughter. And I have a 17-year-old son who's only a couple years behind your son. But the way I raise them is different than the way you raise them. And that is because the color of our skin, right? And that's the reality of the world we look in. So when we talk about race, that's got to be the first thing that we say. My challenges are much harder than yours just based on the color of my skin and all that comes with raising kids and that kind of thing. I have to worry about my sons every time they leave the house because they could be viewed in a certain way just because of the color of their skin. And I would say all white parents don't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. And does that end up making you mad? Like, is that so when you see when you're when you hear, you know, we're looking at.
It disappoints
there's
me.
We've reached a boiling point, mm-hmm. right? As you hear, so does that mean, does it make you angry?
No, it disappoints me. It disappoints me because as a kid, I had to go through it. And I want to bet that, you know, I never knew my father, but I'm willing to bet as when he was a kid, he probably had to go through it, and his parents had to go through it. So, you know, the generations of going through this has probably gone as far back as, you know, time itself goes. And so it disappoints me that now that's the one thing that I have to teach my kids is how to speak around law enforcement, or not even just, and I don't want to use law enforcement, but how to carry yourself around people, because they're instantly going to judge you first off and foremost because of the color of your skin. And then if you talk a different way, if you look a different way, then they're already going to have a different perception of you.
And the texter is asking whether you understand that this happens with every race.
No, it doesn't. I mean, that's where that's it does not. I mean, I'd love to talk to this texter and say, if they have kids or if they go out, do they feel threatened just because of how they look?
I felt threatened around Dover for some years.
Right. Well, Dover's a tough place.
It is, especially when you're half Italian.
Depends on which side. Depends on which side you were living on.
I was on the Medfield side, so I was okay.
Which side of Dover? Here's a 781 text. It's a read every text Tuesday.
All right.
Wiggy, aren't you a rich guy? Living in the suburbs, so that's the argument.
Yeah, my kids are still black.
They're still gonna be out. Like when somebody like randomly goes by Wiggy's kids or any black person or any person of any race, they don't know what their background is right off the bat. They don't know what their status is financially. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's dumb.
That's dumb.
I mean, yeah, but my kids are still black. What's that mean?
Right. They're rich black though, right. So it's not the same thing.
Wiggy, were you an innocent kid who caused no trouble growing up, or were you an a-hole?
No, kids cause trouble all the time. Yeah. We used to sit there and be like, oh, you're black, so you're half black. You must have caused trouble. Like, come on. Are we really trying to do this? We're trying to pick apart, like, every... Wiggy, you're going to tell me, like, one time in your past you never knocked over an ice cream truck in East Boston? Like, come on.
I was like most teenagers. I mean, you know, like most teenagers of any color, really.
Wiggy, did you steal from Blockbuster?
No.
Come on, people. Come on. He was not kind, Curtis.
Yes, I was definitely not kind.
All right. We're a tad bit behind, which is fine. So when we come back, we will get to the dumbest of the day here on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.